Captain Watts will retrieve you when we get started, so if you'd mind. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father God, Almighty God, God of heaven, God of earth, God of grace, God of mercy, our God, the only true and living God. We thank you, Father God, for blessing us with fresh grace and mercy every morning, Father God. We thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank you for blessing each and every one of us. We thank you for blessing our families. Father God, we thank you for blessing this town. As we go about the town council meeting, Father God, we invite you in. We ask you to take over. Use us in a way that bring praise and glory to you, that will lift you up and guide our town in the right direction. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen.
Okay, first item, Sergeant S.W. Martin. Right?
Yep. Master Deputy.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yes, sir. Yes. I'm coming before you guys today to request that the council approve the closure of East 4th Street, Goodwin Street, and Main Street for the purpose of a car show to benefit our Project Lifesaver program. This is a program that benefits families of individuals who suffer from Alzheimer's, dementia, or autism. It helps us place a tracking device on a wristlet. We have a responder that will be able to help us locate them. I think our last one that we did was in 15 minutes. It was very effective. This would be a huge help. It funds our program for the entire year mostly. When we do these events, this will be our fourth annual, and they've always been very successful.
Okay. So with that, first I'll entertain a motion to approve the request from Master Deputy Martin on behalf of Sheriff Byer for the closure of the East Court Street, Goodwin, and the Main Street from Star Street to the traffic light.
I make that motion.
Motion may have a second. And I have a second. Is there any discussion? Well, do you, anybody have any questions you want to ask?
Absolutely.
What is the time frame of that? What's September the 9th? What day is that? The Saturday?
It's a Saturday, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what time would that closure be?
We're looking at in the afternoon from 12 to either 4 or 5.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Nothing else? Vote. Mr. Bristol?
Aye.
Mr. Stigwell? Ms. Turner?
Aye.
I just got confused there for the echo for a second. Okay. Motion carried. Go forth and show cars.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Next is the property maintenance code. Ms. McGuffin, I'm going to throw this to
Mayor
you.
Mayor Tuttle. Excuse me. Mr. Thompson is on Zoom now. I'm not sure he can hear us, but...
Okay. Okay, hopefully we won't echo anymore.
Well, I just turned that off.
Okay. So he is on Zoom?
Well, it's showing that he's on, and I just chatted with him to see if he could hear, but he hadn't answered, so.
Okay. All right. So in order for him to participate, I need a motion for somebody for Mr. Thompson to be able to participate electronically.
I like that motion.
A motion from Ms. Whedon, a second. Second from Mr. Higginbotham. Is there any discussion? Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll. Now he needs to address his reason for requesting, if we can.
Let's see if I can get him to talk.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Thompson, we have voted to allow you electronically. You just need to express to the council your reason for requesting to allow to come in electronically in generalized location.
I'm not sure he can hear. He's connecting to the audio now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Check my man, just kidding.
Could he just call him?
Well, I sent him a message to ask him if he'd do that, but.
Yes, go ahead, please. Yeah, so we you know.
So this is the property maintenance code. This is a public hearing to go over a revision to our standard code process for tall grass and weeds. Currently, if someone makes a complaint, we have a time frame that we notice, provide notice to the owner, wait the end of that time frame, then meet with the property maintenance investigation board. They make a finding of neglect, and then the town can go out and cut the grass at the owner's expense. This will allow for that time frame to be shortened, but it does increase the notice provision. So once a complaint has been made and I'm able to confirm that there is tall grass and weeds, we would post the property and we would provide certified mail notice, and then 15 days after that, if it's not been remediated, it would go directly to having the grass cut. So it will make the process a little bit less cumbersome to do, as well as a little bit quicker response time for the folks to make the complaints.
Okay. Captain Watts, can you check on the public hearing to see if anybody has signed in, please, sir? Right. I will open the public hearing.
You.
I think that's him.
Can you hear us, Mr. Thompson? Apparently not.
I think he's in.
Okay. Well, I will close the public
hearing. Yeah, sorry.
Hello?
Sharon, can you hear me?
I can. You're on speaker and the whole council can hear you.
I'm very sorry for the delay. It keeps saying that it kept throwing me out and then saying that I was muted. So my apologies. Sorry to keep you.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, can you hear me? Mr. Thompson. Okay, we've already voted to allow you access, but we need a reason and a reasonable location of where you're at to finish the approval process.
Kensington Palace, London, England, and the King's Coronation.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that.
We want a report.
Hope you had a good time. Oh, thank you. Okay, so now you're in, so we're on this, we're getting ready to vote. We'll call for a motion for the revision to the property maintenance code. Can I have a motion for that, please?
I make a motion.
Have a motion for Mr. Higginbotham. Can I have a second?
A second.
A second from Ms. Wheaton. Is there any discussion? All right, vote, Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Motion is carried 5-0-0. Now, can the citizens' comments right there, please, Captain Locke? Mr. Ingram, you have 3 minutes, right?
Okay. Thank you so much for having us. We're all represent Amherst Pool.
This will be our 60-year anniversary, and so we're looking forward to upcoming year. I'm here to request, again, which is an annual requirement for water reduction. We are just right outside the town limits, for like a mile, so it's very important for us to have this opportunity to request it financially. We provide a lot of, employ 8 lifeguards. Of course, we're a 501c, so we're a nonprofit. We have struggled in the past with our finances of staying open, but we have a game plan with our 6 board of directors and 3 officers on upping our memberships so we can have more revenue to take care of our bills and to keep this pool open. I provided town council with some information last week, so I'm here with our vice president, Christine Spicer, and our treasurer, Ignacia Covington. So if y'all have any questions, we're here to answer those.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ingram. I see that somebody else, but is it Miss? What's this other one? Is it you? Your last name?
Covington.
Yes. You're not a town resident, correct?
I'm not.
Okay, so during citizen comments, only town residents can speak, okay? Mm-hmm. So, with that, Ms. McGuffin, would you have anything you'd like to add to this?
The only thing I would really, what council...
Well, it's not time yet.
Okay.
Okay, because I got... All right.
Still my turn?
You, how much longer you got?
Go.
All right, just rush.
We do provide great recreation for our elderly in the community. And we also, we have not only the lifeguards that we employ, but we have a lot of small children that come through during summer camps. That's been consistent with every year, like 75 every morning, every other morning, come in buses. So we provide a great service to the town residents, and not only our residents, but the county. It's very important for us to get this reduction. This water reduction is 50% as opposed to 100%, which would be an in-town rate. Last year we spent $5,300 for our water usage. If it wasn't for that water reduction, it would have been approximately $10,600. And that is a lot of money for our 501c. So I would like to request that water reduction again for this year, please.
Okay, thank you. And that's later on the agenda. We'll get to it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Next is the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting, the minutes, and the check approvals for last month.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Turner. May I have a second?
Second.
A second from Mr. Driscoll. Is there any comment? Discussion? There being none, Ms. Wheaton?
I'm saying
so. Okay. Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion is carried 4-0-1. All staff reports are attached. Next, we're going into the discussion item. Ms. McGuffin.
Staff requests the amendment to the utilities rate and fee policy. When we did the rate and fee policy for the current fiscal year, we inadvertently left off the statement at the end, which would allow us to apply council's previously voted policy of providing in-town rate for out-of-town nonprofit groups that are providing a community service. So this is the motion on which Mr. Ingram was speaking. And as he said, this is a $5,000 difference to the organization. This has been done in the past. So in order to do it this year, we would need an amendment to the policy.
Okay. Before we go on to vote, Mr. Driscoll, I know that you know about this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak to council.
Okay.
I've been involved with the pool for over 15 years. I know the place and the activities inside and out. I have seen little kids come in and play in the kiddie pool, grow up to be our lifeguards. You talk about a character-building, confidence-building activity. We can provide it. The town has long lamented that we do not have a YMCA. The Amherst pool fills that need. We are only a half a mile from town limits. A half a mile. We're a very large pool. Our operating costs are very high, mainly water and chemicals. Our only income is our membership dues. We live hand to mouth with the size of our membership. The reduced water rate is a key factor in the pool staying in business. If we were just inside town limits, our membership would not change. We have a mix of town members and county members. The pool is not for everyone. It's a multi-use facility for swimming. It's no different than any other business that's in town. The antique store caters to people who want to look for treasures. The slot racing business caters to people who have that hobby. We cater to people who want a clean, safe place to swim. The pool is unique. It is the only facility of its type close to the town. I will repeat again, we are a half mile outside town limits. Only by the grace of God and a surveyor are we not in the town. It's run by dedicated volunteers. There's no money that goes to anybody except our high school student lifeguards. The only other pool that is even close is a country club that's 10 miles away, and they cost $600 or $200 more per year than we do. We are the low budget offering for the pool. We are not a public pool. Public pools are generally owned and run by the municipality in which they fall. I can tell you right now, the town or the county does not want to own or run a pool. We do it all with volunteers. We need the season-long commitment from members to stay in business. We can't do it on a day-by-day basis. One of the main reasons I volunteer, and I'm gonna choke up on this, is a whole lot of evenings. I'll see some of our parents come in, father come in, with two or three kids and a couple of pizza boxes. And you just know that this father, the day before, told his kids, okay, okay, tomorrow when I get off work, I will take you to the pool. This man is building memories with his kids. Why in the world would anybody vote against that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, I will entertain a motion for the, would it be just the policy, fee policy?
Yes, sir.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Driscoll. I have a second.
I'll second it for communication and discussion.
All right, I have a second from Ms. Turner. Now it's open for discussion. I think you said you're beginning, right?
Yep.
Okay, Ms. Turner.
I don't disagree with any of what has already been said, but the main factor is that they are not in town. Almost, but not in town. And I really have an issue with that. And we are now, because of this, found out that there are other nonprofits that may be not in compliance or compliance. So I would like to look at that before we do the policy for the 23-24 year and look at who does qualify, doesn't qualify, with the qualifications of them being in town.
Okay, anybody else? Ms. Wheaton?
It's not fair for a gentleman or a woman or a family who's living on Social Security benefits, struggling to pay their water bill in town, while others may afford the membership fee to do this sort of thing. If Winton Country Club became a nonprofit and needed money because the river ran dry, are we going to allow them to purchase water at an out-of-town rate? The pool, I understand, is wonderful. I was a member there when I was a little girl, I believe, and we were Winton. People here on council were lifeguards there. I understand the benefit of the facility. However, it does not benefit the town as a whole. Not every member can afford to be there. If I know people are struggling to pay their water bills, it's not fair, I don't believe, to be that. Now, if you want to open it up like Miller Park, maybe that's another discussion. I believe that's a city pool that everyone's able to participate in, but that's my reason. I admire the work that's going into this. However, I would not be able to stand up to the gentleman or the woman living on a Social Security benefit check that are struggling to pay their bills while this family's paying that type of membership fee to go swimming. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Mr. Thompson?
With Ms. Wheaton, Mike's quite eloquent in what he said about the pool, and I understand the need for that. My concern is about the cemetery, which doesn't seem to be paying any water fees at all. And I'm surprised. How is it the fees weren't charged to the cemetery when we didn't have the policy in place? I understand how it could be in the books.
Well, that I think that just came to light, but we're on this now. The cemetery, we'd have to bring that up, would be a separate issue, not combined with the pool.
I see. Well, but isn't it part of the policy? Isn't it offset to amend the policy to include this discount for the pool?
For the pool, right.
For
the pool.
I'd like to see that looked at. I mean, it seems curious to me that we're kind of picking winners and losers here by not charging the cemetery and then giving the pool a discount.
So,
is there any way for us to take some time and look at the policy as a whole so that we come up with a policy that is across the board all throughout so that we don't have a situation in the cemetery, we don't have a situation for the pool, or any? I think it needs to be reviewed. Clearly, there are things that have come up.
I think this is for this.
Yeah, the
budget.
Cemetery, right? This shows up every year in your budget. The cemetery issue is not even addressed in your policy. That is something that was done years ago, and I mean, I wasn't even aware it was done until this conversation came up this week, and it has just been. So someone made the decision years and years ago, and that bill has been going to the town for many years.
But this one is for...
This is actually in the policy, so the cemetery is a different... That is really a radically different question, just because I don't even know how that decision was made.
So some of those, if we want to read just the policy, yes, but this is for this year's budget, for this one right now.
I have a question for him. Am I allowed to
speak? Yes.
How does that play into the maintenance of policy and implementation? We're not voting on this.
You're talking about the pool, strictly the pool.
Well, I personally believe that if you're in town, you pay in town rates. If you're out of town, you pay out of town rates.
Right.
It's not fair to all.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah. I want to go back to my previous term on the council, where this family came to the council. The mayor probably the only one here then, maybe administrator. But the family came to the town seeking a water line so they wouldn't have to dig a well. It was 500 feet. They were 500 feet off the town water line. They asked us to put, if we would supply them with the line, they wasn't in the town, it was just 500 feet. And I thought it would be beneficial for us to do it because we'd be making money off them. And if they leave, we'd be making money off of whoever come. So in our favor, I thought to add the line, but the town could not do it because we couldn't pick and choose who we would do these things for. We would have to do it for everyone or no one. That was what was determined by the council then. So we wasn't able to do it because it wasn't in the town, only 500 feet. And we are not in the business of bailing out businesses that don't make it. Look how many restaurants have come to town that have failed. We cannot bail out everybody that have a money problem. That we don't do that. That's not what we're here to do. And I just don't think it's a good thing for us to do because it's not town, it's county. And we are in a situation right now where the town is dealing with a budget and we're not even in agreement to give our own people, our own police, our own maintenance workers anything, 7%. But
we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but
you're sliding off a little bit,
okay.
Right?
But I just think we shouldn't do it because we need to focus on, are we going to do this for everyone, or are we going to do it for no one? Are we going to stick to our policy of the town, or are we going to just move along and do what we want for who we want?
Okay. May I add something to what Mr.
Briefly?
Well, am I correct that when we speak of other nonprofits, I've been told that we're supposed to help them get started, give them a little pass here and there, but then they have to make it on their own. And we don't go back to bail them out. They have to rely on their grants and their funding. So again, I go back to, I do not agree with this.
Okay. All right, let's call for a vote. Unless you have anything you want to add to the variant.
I will be disappointed.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right.
Aye.
And Ms. Higginbotham?
Nay.
Ms. Turner?
Nay.
Ms. Wheaton?
Nay.
Mr. Thompson?
Nay.
Okay, motion is defeated. 1-4-0. The consideration, I know council got the updated and revised policy for short-term rentals. Ms. McGuffin?
So staff really just took our existing policies that have to do with just more the financial end of it and the process that someone needs to go through, so that if someone came in who was interested in doing a short-term rental, this would explain to them the business license process, the taxes they would pay in terms of lodging, et cetera, and then added in the information from the council group, work group that had come up with kind of these are what we would recommend for the standard conditions. This doesn't change anything that you voted on last time in terms of the special use permit. This is really just kind of codifying and bringing together the policy portion that we would use when these came in the door.
Okay. With that, I will accept the motion for the updating and revised policy. Motion from Mr. Higginbotham. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Mr. Higginbotham, you have a comment?
No.
And Mr. Driscoll?
This is for short-term rentals, primarily Airbnbs. There are people out there ready to move on opening their Airbnbs. The folks are working on getting the Mentor House ready. We need to do everything that we can to help.
Okay. Mr. Thompson?
Was the last time meeting, and Ms. Turner and some of the others didn't get to participate in policy, that this wasn't as well thought out and as well designed as I hoped it would be. And my thoughts about this, I kind of outlined what I would like to see in the policy that I could support. But kind of rolling this out as we go along, I agree with Mike. I mean, there's some folks that are ready to go. But I think rolling this policy out as we go along is not good for the citizens and not good for this business. You know, the question I have is that, as I understood it in the last meeting, the policy was basically, I think it's the mayor that said that we would look at this in a year. So is this something that can be changed as we go along? My question about it being that way is, you know, it's still valid. But is that something that can be done, or is this something we're kind of stuck with for a year, as I understood it to be, based on what the mayor said and Ms. Kemp responded, saying we'd look at this in a year?
I would differentiate between policy and code on that. So where the council adopted the code amendment for the SUP, that would be what you would really consider again in a year. Because council is a policy-making board, it is within the council's prerogative to change policies as frequently as they desire to do so. So I really think that time frame has more to do with the zoning side than it does with the policy side. Anything you want to add to that, Mrs. Kemp?
Thank you, Ms. McGowan. I mean, even the newspaper seemed a little confused about this, and I think I spoke to Ms. Kemp after this. But as it is for the policy, I mean, to me, there isn't any enforcement in this. If say one were to go off the rails and violate the policy, there's no teeth in it for you, Ms. McGowan, to enforce this. Am I wrong on that?
So the enforcement would really come more through the zoning side. So if these were items that, for example, someone was not, as we do the conditional use part, the special use permits, we would be applying these proposed conditions along with any other individual conditions that staff wanted to, the council wanted to impose or staff recommended. And then if someone wasn't in compliance, then they would be in violation of the zoning ordinance. And we would be prosecuting it from a zoning violation point of view. So that the enforcement will really come, since you've adopted it as a special use permit, your enforcement for anything you put on conditions would be through the zoning ordinance.
So this, if I can summarize it just for my feeble mind, then we have these general set of policies based on Mike and I discussing this over coffee. And then the special use permit that they applied for would have their individual policies that would be incidental or in addition to what Mike and I come up with that the council adopted the last meeting, correct?
Yes, sir, that would be my intent.
So in theory, we could have different policies for different properties based on the SUP, the special use permit.
Yes, sir.
That was my understanding. Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay, Ms. Turner?
I don't have anything at
this point. Ms.
Wheaton? No comment.
All right, call for a vote. Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Yeah.
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Nay.
All right, it is defeated 2-3, so the policy that was set at the last meeting is what is of record. So the motion was defeated 2-3. All right, Ms. McGuffin, the SCADA proposal.
So we've talked previously, and it's been on our radar in terms of capital improvements for some time, to do a new SCADA system for the wastewater treatment plant. We have a couple of different funding streams that we're working with right now, both the USDA, the final dollars from the slip lining project, as well as remaining funds from the ARPA monies.
The thought really here is that this really shouldn't take any town sewer revenue at all. Between those two funding sources, we should have all of this paid for. We won't be able to finalize all of that until we get our letter from USDA confirming that we may use that money for this purpose, as well as the bids for the actual construction. What I'm asking for at this time is approval for the work of WW Associates to design the system as well as take it out to bid. So this is the first thing we need to do for anything we're going to do on this SCADA system. And this would be a really great update for the wastewater treatment plant. And it is a total fee of $60,000. We're asking for your approval to spend.
I'll entertain a motion to spend the money for the engineering work to get started on the SCADA system.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Turner. I have a second. Any discussion? Anybody? Calling for a vote. Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham? And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion carried 5-0-0. Next, set public hearing for a special use permit. Ms. McGuffey.
We have a temporary storage yard that is ongoing right now as part of the APCO, like the serious rewiring they're doing of all the way to Scottsville. And that is located right on Route 60 east of the Commerce Center there that is the tourism center that's the old depot. And this came in as a question, and I contacted the folks at AEP. They got me in touch with the landowners. They didn't realize that they needed a special use permit. They have come in with their application, and I'm requesting, particularly because this is a temporary use and it is currently ongoing, that we go ahead and advertise it for next month so we can do Planning Commission and the Town Council both next month. So I'm asking for you to set that public hearing.
All right, I will entertain a motion to set the public hearing.
Motion.
Mr. Higginbotham, have a second.
Second.
Second from Ms. Wheaton. Any discussion? Mr. Driscoll, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carried 5-0-0. Next, Ms. McGuffin, the public hearing for to vacate the alley at Mount Olive.
So we have several alleys in town, and the state code is very specific on what you need to do if you want to get rid of an alley. This is an unopened alley. It has never been used in anyone's memory as an alley. It really just looks like vacant land. And the church has made a request that alley be vacated. They would like to use that portion of land that is adjacent to them. You have a policy that you adopted last year that talks about what we need to do to kind of go through that with an application. They have filled out the application. I really wanted to ask you to go ahead and set the public hearing to have the conversation. And then as we get the public hearing done, we have the conversation. If the council is supportive of moving forward with it, that we would direct the church then to have all the plat work done that they need to do to vacate the alley. But I did not want to ask them to expend that money if this was not something that was going to be satisfactory to the neighbors or to the council.
Okay. Ms. McGuffin, is it possible if we approve the next two public hearings, we set them for July, since we have our budget discussions and everything next month?
I don't think that's an issue at all with Mount Olive. I would want to set the Meadows for June because I'm still hoping to get that in this fiscal year so it doesn't account against our allocation for next year.
All right, so we can set Mount Olive for July.
Correct.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to set the public hearing for Mount Olive for the vacate of the alley in July.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Motion from Ms. Turner, second from Ms. Higginbotham. Any discussion?
Aye.
Oh, okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried 5-0-0. Next, the public hearing for the road addition, which will be set for next month.
Yes, sir. So as council probably remembers, because we did one of these about a year ago, we have the ability through state code to add 1/4 mile of road to VDOT's road system every year. So this was put in place in state code because a lot of towns had old roads that did not meet DDOT standards, and they've given us this gift of being able to have those come into the state system. The process is the land gets donated to the town, and then the town donates just the right-of-way to VDOT. I wanted to get this in because our allocation will end June 30th, and then we'll be hitting another one. And I do know that there is another request that will probably be coming towards you in the next few months.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to set this public hearing for the road edition in next month.
I'll make that motion.
Motion for Ms. Turner. Second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Driscoll. Okay. Anybody have any discussion?
Exactly what is this road edition?
It's down there, you know where the Meadows apartment is?
Oh, yeah.
That's where it's at.
Okay, yeah, great.
But which road is it?
The one to the left.
It'll be the Meadow Green Court and Meadow Lake Court and the very end of Cedar Street.
Goes up the hill? Mm. How about the road? Does not include the one that goes...
Does it include the one to the right?
One?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Go for this one. All right. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Wellen? And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion carried, 5-0-0. Next is the appointment to the Planning Commission. Ms. McGuffin?
Yes, sir. With Holden Chase moving away to Charlottesville, we have a vacancy for the remainder of his term. We have an application from Beta Butcher to be appointed to the Planning Commission. She is your only applicant, and staff requests her appointment.
I will entertain a motion to accept Ms. Butcher's appointment to the Planning Commission.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. We have a second. Doug, were you a second? Okay, thank you. Anybody have any discussion?
Do we get to meet her?
Good question.
We don't normally ask Planning Commission applicants or Board of Zoning Appeals folks to come in. She does have her applications included in your packet, but we don't normally do interviews for this. But we can change that practice.
Does the Planning Commission get to interview her?
No, sir, not usually.
No, not usually. We usually go by the application.
Okay.
It's called the book. We don't know her. Never met her.
You know, well, you have the application. I mean, you know, that's where you find out a lot. I mean, so, we have a motion on the floor, so I will call for the vote. Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Ms. Turner? And Ms. Wheaton? Aye. Motion carried, 5-0-0. Matters from staff. Ms. Williams? Ms. Smith? Ms. Beckett? Ms. Vicki?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. Matters from council. Mr. Driscoll?
No, nothing.
Mr. Higginbotham?
I'm just thinking that for people coming to the Planning Commission and stuff, I think we should be able to meet them in person so we know. We can get to hear them and see them, and
we will put that on a future to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
I have nothing, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Turner?
I would just like to thank maintenance and lawn care for mowing the park, the mill park. It's lovely down there today, and it was very pretty that it was mowed and looks very well. Manicured, so thank you very much.
Ms. Wheaton?
No comment.
All righty. Captain Watts, can you check to see if there's any comments?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Sundra Murphy, you got 3 minutes.
Right. 134 2nd Street, Angela Sunder Murphy. Dear Council, my purpose for addressing the Council tonight is to begin a dialogue regarding the accessibility, safety, and aesthetics of the Central Business District, particularly regarding our sidewalks. Our citizens with disabilities have expressed to me their frustration with having to use the roadway to travel because sidewalks are either too damaged or too narrow to accommodate even their smallest electric wheelchairs. Several portions of our Central Business District sidewalks are left damaged, patched with gravel, and developing sinkholes in the walkway. And some people have mentioned the condition of our sidewalks making our central business district look junky. I have prepared some unofficial for your information packets for you to look at another time, and I look forward to discussing this matter further. Took some measurements of the problems. Thompson's. And then here's just a general thing for you guys to look at. And that is all. Thank you. Oh, it is not all. I'm sorry. I heard we're getting bike racks. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Are we still in this? Not taking this in, or who's taking this in?
Motion, or do you want to read that motion out? Thompson.
For closed session?
Yeah.
So,
I have it.
You have
okay.
It?
Somebody has
it. Okay. We've changed it around a couple times, that's probably
right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Whereas the Town Council of the Town of Amherst desires to discuss in a closed meeting the following matters: discussion, consideration, or interviews of prospective candidates for employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of specific public officers, appointees, or employees of any public body concerning the Town Police Department, Town Manager, and the Town Attorney. Consultation with legal counsel pertaining to actual probable litigation or such consultation in an open meeting would adversely affect the negotiating or litigating posture of the public body concerning the zoning enforcement action. Whereas pursuant to Section 2.2-3711A1 and A7 of the Code of Virginia, such discussion may occur in a closed meeting. Now therefore be it resolved that the Amherst Town Council does hereby authorize discussion of the aforestated matters in a closed meeting. Just need that in the form of a motion.
I have a motion going to closed session.
I'll make that motion.
Motion and a second from Miss
Wheaton.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I'm going to take a couple minutes recess for everybody else to.